Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I am FPL Dean, and today you're here for a very special edition because I don't ever do these kind of videos, but this is going to be something I'm going to do for the start of next season. So I thought, why the hell not? Let's do it today. This is the late mail ahead of game week 36, post the press conferences. It's going to be uploading at about hopefully 5, 6am in the UK time because I'm recording it now and it's 9am Australian time. Smash a like on the video. Let me know if this is something you like. I've covered, hopefully, everyone's last-minute dilemmas. And, yeah, if you haven't already, press the sub as well. Lock in the deadline stream for later as well if you want to join me, because I'm telling you, I'm going to be deciding all my moves on the deadline stream, and I'm telling you, the card is ready to pop. So make sure you join me for that. So let's just jump straight into it, I suppose. The Haaland decision, and look, obviously, we obviously heard from Pep Guardiola last night, and this is obviously off the back of what Erling Haaland said himself. It was horribly injured, but what can you do? He said you have to recover as quickly as you can and to come back as fit as you can. Now, I'm back with loads of energy. I'm feeling good and moving good, and I'm ready. That was from Rob Dawson. That was reported on Thursday afternoon. Now, Pep Guardiola in his press conferences just said this. Ready. He's fit. If he'll start, we'll decide tomorrow. But he's ready. He's ready to go. I think if Pep Guardiola is coming out and saying that, and Erling Haaland is also coming out saying that he is fit and he's ready, I think he starts. Like, if I'm being brutally honest, without waiting for team leaks or whatever, my gut feel, and look, I'm going to give you a sneak peek. The card is on the belief that Haaland is going to be starting this game. So, look, it hasn't been wrong too often this season, but I don't know if it's on one here. But I'm telling you, if he's starting against Southampton, he features in the captaincy decision, and he automatically goes into my line of thinking for triple captain as well. And is he worth a hit? I think if you've taken -8 to bring him in, it's not worth it. If you're taking a -4, potentially it's worth it. But look, I've got the money to do it without taking a hit. So for me, it's definitely kind of worth it. See, system manager for game week 36, and yes, some people, if you haven't already activated this chip, you need to be activating it this particular game week, because otherwise you're not getting full bang for buck. It does last for 3 weeks, so if you play it this week, that means it goes for 36, 37, and 38. You can't play any other chip for the season. There aren't many good options this week for table bonus, and the only one that I would even think about doing is Kieran McKenna versus Brentford, because it's at home, because it's Brentford. But realistically, he is the only one I'd be interested in with table bonus. Ruben Nistelrooy, no good. Rusk, no good. But realistically, you want to be going for either Nuno or Pep. The reason why is that they've both got really good fixtures the next 2 weeks. And Man City are fighting for that top five. So you would think that they're probably the safest bet. If you just want to set and forget, Pep Guardiola is your man. Southampton away, I mean, it's just a matter of how many goals they score, really. Ironically, the last 5 games against Southampton away, City have only scored 10 goals, which I thought was quite interesting. I thought they would have scored more than that, considering how bad Southampton had been and how good Man City had been. Then I tried to think back about, like, when some of those games might have been played, and Southampton might not have actually been the relegation fodder that they were or became. And they did actually have some good players back when, like, Mane was there, so maybe those stats are a little bit skewed. In terms of Nuno, yes, the underlying data has been poor, but they've got Leicester at home and then West Ham away. So again, the next 2 fixtures for Nuno look pretty good. Those are the 2 managers I'll be looking for if you are playing the assistant manager this week. The best Forest defender to buy in game week 36. And look, these guys have Leicester at home followed by West Ham away. So you would think, realistically, you would think that there's going to be at least 1 clean sheet in the next 2 games. So look, there's not much to split between any of these guys. They've all scored over 100 points this season as well. We're going to start with Aina, who's back fit, and ironically, he's actually the best for underlying bonus. So if you're after someone, you think they're going to keep a clean sheet and they're not going to get an attacking return, and realistically, Aina's got 2 goals and 1 assist for the season. Milinkovic has got 4 goals, 2 assists for the season, and Nico Williams got 1 goal, 3 assists for the season. Realistically, they're not getting an attacking return. So if you think they're just keeping a clean sheet, the best for underlying bonus here is definitely Aina. So I think I would probably have him in front of Milinkovic and Nico Williams. Now, if you think there's going to be an attacking return, I still think Milinkovic is the best of the 3 for that. He's obviously got the best XG, 0.11, compared to Nico Williams' 0.9 and Aina's 0.02, 0.02, sorry, and 0.09. Expected assists, though, it is Aina in front on 0.06, Milinkovic on 0.02, and Nico Williams on 0.05. Again, there's not much to split them. Realistically, I think any of them this week are a good buy. You could even put Murillo in this conversation, but I think his definitely comes in at fourth for me. So for that reason, it's got to be one of these three if you're buying a defender this week and it's a Forest defender. The best midfielder differential for game week 36. And look, it is really just a straight shootout between these two players. Anthony Elanga obviously has the Leicester at home fixture, which looks amazing on paper. And the fact that Chris Wood's data has dropped off, maybe that means that they're more reliant on Elanga. And maybe that's more likely that he's going to play 90 minutes like he has the last couple. Then we've got Kevin Sharday, who is back off 3 goals in his last 2 games. And he obviously got that double and 14 points against Manchester United and Ipswich away. When you compare the underlying data, it is very close between the two. So Elanga costs you 5.5 million. Kevin Sharday is only going to cost you 5.2 million. Again, they're not the most 90-minute men going around. Elanga's got 139 points for the season compared to Kevin Sharday's 134. Last week's XGI is a massive difference. So Forest just don't rack up much XGI in general. Brentford do. So last week, Elanga had 0.26 XGI in that game. And then obviously Kevin Sharday had XGI of 1.21 versus Man United. So there's a clear night and day there. Kevin Sharday is almost times five over what Elanga did last week. When you compare the goals and assists, though, as you can see here, Elanga 6 goals, Kevin Sharday 10 goals, Elanga 9 assists, Kevin Sharday 4 assists. So you're more likely to get a goal from Kevin Sharday than you are Elanga, but you're more likely to get an assist from Elanga than Kevin Sharday. So I honestly don't know whether that puts you each way, but either way, so when you expect, it kind of backs up the XGI as well. So Sharday's got an XG of 0.35 per 90, and Elanga's literally got half that at 0.18 per 90. When you look at the expected assist, though, Elanga's got significant assist threat more, 0.17 expected per 90. Sharday's only got 0.07 expected per 90. So I suppose Elanga offers kind of more routes to points because he's got more assist threat, but Sharday's got more goal threat, and I don't know which one you want to be chasing at this point in the time. The bonus points are pretty even. 13 points to Elanga, 9 to Sharday. There's not much to split them, to be honest. I think they're both great picks the next couple of weeks. So which forward to dump? And I've added Mateta on here. Obviously, Mateta is probably the one that probably needs to go first, just because of the fact that, yes, they've got Tottenham, which on paper is a very good fixture. You would argue that Isak's actually got the worst fixture this week of the three. Chelsea have the best, well, the third best defensive data in the league this season in terms of goals conceded. Mateta looks really good versus a Tottenham team that are going to be very tired. And obviously, Marmoush has got Southampton. Like, it's hard to justify selling any of these, and I'm actually thinking about selling two of them, and I already don't own Mateta. Like, I'm actually thinking about ditching the entire forward line that every man and his dog has had for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. I've already got Wisser in my team, so that looks really good. I think realistically, if I was selling one of these guys this week and it was straight off the bat, I think I'd sell Mateta. He's more of a minutes risk, as we've seen over the last few weeks. The FA Cup's there. How many minutes is he going to play? Are Crystal Palace going to be focused on that game and maybe not all at the races of this game? I'm not sure. But I think that's the one I'd be getting rid of first. Then, realistically, I think you potentially sell Isak in front of Marmoush, unless we get news that Marmoush is not starting. But I feel like everyone's got Isak, and you could potentially make rank, or you could also potentially lose rank by taking him on. So for that reason, I really like him here as well. There's not much to split him, honestly. I think you could literally make a justification for selling all three this week if you had 3 transfers. So player comparison for the season. And look, if you're selling any one of those 3 forwards, these are probably the 3 most realistic ones you're looking at. And I actually think that you could play all 3 of these this week, no problem at all. Now, Cunha's got an average of 5.8 points per game. Wood, unfortunately, his head is cut off how many years. He's actually got 5.7. So it was actually Wood leading the way up until the last couple of weeks, and now Cunha's overtaken him, and Wiss is coming home like a barnstorm, whatever. 6.7 million for Wissa, and obviously Wood and Cunha are exactly the same, 7.1. So if budget is an issue, Wiss is your man. Plus, I would argue that Wiss is probably the most in form of the three as well. Ironically, there's nothing to split them in terms of the attacking returns that they've got this season. They've all got 22 attacking returns each, which basically shows how good Wisser is because he is the only one not on penalties. So Wood's been reliant on penalties for a lot of those goals. Cunha has also been on penalties for Wolves. And look, there's not much to split them. 175 points for the season for Cunha, 173 for Wisser, 188 for Wood. When you look at the bonus points, even Wisser's catching up over the last few weeks there as well. It's now 41 points for Cunha, 39 for Wood, 30 for Wisser. They're all pretty good at underlying bonus. I think when you look at the fixtures, you would argue that Cunha's got the worst fixtures over the next three, and then it's really tight between Wood and Wisser. Obviously, Wisser this week is Ipswich away, and he scored a goal and assist against them the last time they played him. Chris, the Woody Woodpecker, last time he played Leicester, he scored twice. And the last time that Wolves played Brighton, Cunha was involved as well. So look, there is not much to split him. Honestly, you could just pick one of the three and they're probably going to return this week. If you're after the man in form, it's definitely Wisser, followed by Cunha, followed by Wood. Just because of the fact that Wood has gone off the boil, a bit like Nottingham Forest. And for that reason, I feel like he's just a bit of a trap. But maybe I've had so much faith in Wood most of the season. I've owned him for a lot of the season and he's been absolutely great for me. Maybe I should just think about bringing him back myself. So the captaincy choice for game week 36, and this is a tough one. And look, Haaland with that news that he's declaring himself fit and that Pep Guardiola is also saying that he's ready to go, he has to be in the conversation because as soon as he's back in the team, he becomes the main man. He's more likely to outscore anyone else on that team. We know he is capable of scoring a hat-trick. And look, I've put in the stats here for the last time they played that team earlier this season. So earlier this season, when Southampton played Manchester City, Haaland was exceptionally unlucky. A lot of people triple captained him this week. He got one goal off an XGI of 2.33, which I still think to this day, this season, I could be wrong, is the most recorded by anyone in a game this season. I could be wrong. Let me know if I'm wrong on that one. But he has to be in the conversation straight off the bat. If he's fit and he's starting, I mean, even if he plays 60 minutes, he could easily score a hat-trick in 60 minutes against Southampton. Let's be honest, they have been absolutely god-awful. Now, Kevin De Bruyne did not play against Southampton the first time round. He was not fit. He just didn't get off the bench. Either or, so last week's game, he got one goal, zero assists, and he had an XGI of 0.47. So I just thought I'd include that because of the fact that he didn't play the first time around, so we can't actively compare that data. But he also looks really good. But the thing is we almost want to hear like what that City lineup looks like because Kevin De Bruyne could just get benched. There's a narrative that I think I can see him getting benched this week in order so he can play the last three games of the season for City from the start. I don't know. I could be absolutely barking mad, but I just feel like Savinho, this is the kind of game where he could come in and absolutely go ham and just feed Haaland all day long. That's just me. And Mbeumo obviously is the most popular captaincy off the poll I've done that I can see. And of every other poll that I've seen, he does seem to be the most popular captain. Now, versus Ipswich the first time around, he got two goals and he got 15 points of an XGI of 1.29. Now, I can't remember if he got a penalty in that game, but I feel like potentially he did because Wisser had an assist in this game as well. Again, he is a flat-track bully. Other than the one time against Leicester this season, he's gone over 10 points in every other game versus the promoted teams. So you can see why he is a very popular captaincy option this week. So continuing on the captaincy discussion, and we have to talk about these three players as well. I think any of these six, realistically, I think all these six can actually return. So we'll look at Salah, who a lot of dead teams are going to still have captain. He obviously has Arsenal at home. In the corresponding fixture away, he did actually return. He scored a goal off an XGI of 0.46, and he ended up with 10 points. So like, look, Salah was not bad, and that was at the Emirates. Now the fact that Arsenal are out of the Champions League, like what motivation are they going to have? Are they really want to go? Like, are they going to be just flat? I'm not sure. It's a really hard game to read. I don't think it's going to finish 0-0, but it could be quite high scoring. If it's quite high scoring, then Salah, you would think, is going to be involved and therefore could be a really good shout. Crystal Woody Woodpecker, last time out, obviously has that Leicester at home fixture. He scored twice the last time, got 13 points, but he scored twice of an XGI of 0.36, which is just ridiculous. But Chris Wood has generally done that all season long for Forest, but he has tailed off over the last few weeks. So again, I'm not sure whether that's the right right thing to do or right place to go. Now, Wissa, on the other hand, versus Ipswich away last time, he had one goal, one assist, off an XGI of 1.46. So the last time he actually played Ipswich, he had an higher XGI than Brian and Bwermo. He only, unfortunately, got 11 points because, obviously, Brian and Bwermo took the three bonus, and Wissa, I think, actually only ended up with one in this game, which is just ridiculous. There was four goals scored in that game, and between Wissa and Bwermo, they got three of them. Look, if they score four again this time, you would think, unlike last week where they only had one between them, you would expect that number to be significantly more. I just think that Brentford just look like such a good team in form at the moment. The captaincy choice is super hard. I don't envy anyone. And I feel like it could be really swingy this week as well. And with my triple captaincy ready to be played this week, I am really in a bit of a pickle in terms of where I'm going to go with it. So the chip play, and honestly, it is probably going to come down to the card deciding on the deadline stream. FPL Have a Beer will be joining me, and hopefully he can provide me with some reasoning and some understanding that isn't just luck-based on the back of a card. I can tell you that earlier this season, the card has been exceptionally goatish with its captaincy calls. It called Cunha over Salah and Blank game week 34, and we all know how that went. It called Bruno Fernandes over Erling Haaland in game week 29. I mean, if there's a reason to trust something in life, you just hope that whatever it lands on is just fate and you've got and you're just riding a bunch of luck, because essentially that's what it comes down to. As I said, all those captaincy options, there's even Isak that you could look at potentially as well. I mean, they're all so good. On paper, Marmoush could be really good if Haaland doesn't play as well. Like, there's so many options. Realistically, it's super hard to call. And I think I'm just going to divert it to the card. Like, if I'm being brutally honest, I've done a lot of my decisions this season based off that. I mean, Phil Foden came in on the card and left on the card, and he had the most amazing 5 weeks of my team. So, like, look, who am I to sit there and deny it? Maybe that is the play that I'm going to do on the deadline stream. So the team currently for game week 36. So the team on the left is how my team is currently lined up. And this is via Fantasy Football Hub. Maybe you guys can sit there and think about getting me as part of your sponsors and do an affiliate with me moving forward, because I'm telling you, my content's pretty good. Nah, I'm just kidding. But if the offer is there, I'm willing to accept myself. So look, and I would just like to be able to use the rest of the tools, and I feel like that could be good for moving forward. Now, in terms of the team as it stands, Jacob Murphy's a big problem. Like, that, he just has to go. But if I bring in Haaland and I don't want to take a minus four, and I am very open to a minus four this week, because I feel like I would like to take Isak on, and I would quite like either a Wood or a Cunha instead of an Isak, potentially for the next 2 weeks anyway. And then I'm free hitting him 38 and I can just bring him back in. And I don't have loads of team value tied up in Isak. I can sell him for 9.4. And he's worth 9.6. And I do expect him to drop over the next couple of weeks as well. So I don't think I'm going to be losing too much there. So at the moment, the triple captaincy is on Brian and Bwermo, and the vice captaincy is on Wissa. And that's the team with 7.4 million in the bank on the left. On the right is what it looks like if I bring in the Haaland move. So I'm bringing in Haaland for Marmoush. Potentially I could bring in Haaland for Isak instead. Sell Marmoush as well. And then I think from memory, if I've worked out my mash right, I've almost got enough money for Kevin De Bruyne for Clivert. Like, that is a move that I could do as well. Or, as I said at the moment, I could just bring in Kevin Sade or Alanga for Clivert, and then I just roll with them, and then Haaland's obviously there as well. That is what I'm honestly thinking about. There are a few conundrums. There's definitely going to be some decisions made by the card later today. So hopefully you're excited for the deadline stream, like I am. This is a big week for me with the triple captaincy on the line. If it goes big, I'm looking, like, part of me thinks I could just bring Haaland in and roll the triple captaincy on him. And it's either going to be absolutely brilliant and he gets like a hat-trick or something, triple 17, and all of a sudden I got 51 points from there and I'm right back on the door of top 1K in literally 1 week. Or it could go absolutely pear-shaped and Bwermo goes absolutely ham and it doesn't go off at all. Look, there's so many conundrums. I don't know what I'm going to do, but that is where my quandary is. That is, yeah, just what I think at the moment in general. So that's it. That's where we are. That is the late mail for game week 36. I've got your best defenders to buy from Forest. I've got the best differentials in the midfield to cover. I've got the captaincy, I think, on lock. And then I've got the Haaland debate on lock. Now, for anyone else that is after any other updates, Trent Alexander-Arnold is not going to be starting for Liverpool, so Connor Bradley could be a really good shout if you're there. There are some other team news there, like Dango Ouattara is going to be out for Bournemouth and a few other bits and pieces. However, every other man and his dog does that boring press conference stuff. I've just done the stuff that I think is going to be relevant to people buying players this week. Let me know what you thought of the first edition of Late Mail. Is this something you want to see return next week? And what changes would you like to see for it when I bring it in full-time next season? That's been the D-Unit. I'll see you on the deadline stream of FPL Have a Beer. Catch you then.